Good evening. Welcome to this March 6th church service. And it still feels a little bit empty, but. And if you were looking at the time and saying, where is he staying? That was because my mind was gone. Cheryl and I have had a little bit of screen time this week. And here we are. I was waiting for Henry Dick to come and do the psalm leading. And we have Riley and Rachel leading the singing to this evening. So that's what I was waiting on, the song leader. He's long here all of a sudden. So this evening and for this weekend, today we're having the first service, and then tomorrow we want to have four services. And that is supposed to cover all of us, again, giving all of us an opportunity to come to church. Praise God. And so, having had listened to the church services that Martin had and Larry had and we all together have had, and already early in the week or the week before, I had this thought in my mind of Psalms 119, verse 9, where it says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? And then the answer follows, by taking heed thereunto according to thy word. So that is the theme for this evening. Wherewithal shall we cleanse our hearts or our ways? Pastor Larry had his message on the foundation, and I won't come near as good of a service as his was, I feel, and that isn't why what we get paid on the performance. So we don't never really want to outdo each other, but it does make you study harder when you see someone doing it in a row and all the way back and forth, and here we are. So I want to have this service here this way then, and this service is also recorded for the people that won't be attending church, and may I welcome them too, that will be listening to it tomorrow or whenever. And so let's bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, this evening we thank you that we're able to come here again. We thank you again that we are alive and that we have the health to come here, that we have the facility to come to and gather, and that we have the opportunity now to gather in twice as many people as we did last week. And we thank you for that. God, I thank you for each one that come today, and I pray your Holy Spirit on all of us, that we will be able to fellowship again this evening and worship, sing together, and pray together. Lord God, as I want to share the message, as I have prepared for it, and I believe you have led, I thank you for that, and I pray for your help again to deliver these messages. I pray that you will help that we can uplift your name, and that we will draw close to you so that you can keep us clean, so that we can be kept cleaner. God, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Rachel and Riley, let's sing. Let's help them sing, because this is being recorded. So,
you take with me your red hymn books, and we'll turn to page 207. My hope is built on nothing less. 207.
Thank you.
Next, we'll turn to page 225. All the way my Savior leads me. 225.
Thank you. So, as I said before, and I looked up and then I had lost my line here. I said I had already had the theme and the verse before last week. But then when Pastor Larry was doing his sermon, and he had based the sermon on 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and those verses there, and he spent some time on, or concluded with saying, what will happen to the hay, the wood, hay and stubble on judgment day? And that I understood him, and I believe we all understood him, that he meant with the bad things in our life, the non-productive, that in our life. And so I entitled this message then, how can I overcome sin in my Christian life? How can I have less wood, hay, wood, and stubble on Judgment Day? Because of that, I have chosen these verses from Psalms 119. And they're starting now. Later I will come back to verse 1 yet, but now verse 9 to 11. And that asked the question at first. It asked the question in the first line there, and then it answers it right away. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to thy word. And then this writer says, With my whole heart have I sought thee, O let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. That I might not produce hay and stubble and wood that will not stand the fire. So I hope that we have also already said, this I have and this is my will. This is what I want. And I hope that we will be encouraged through this service and that we already have made up our mind that we also want to say with verse 10, with my whole heart have I sought thee. But we haven't always followed him with our whole heart. But our intent hopefully is on that. And that goes with Psalms 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. So there too, it says, blessed is the man that doesn't do the wrong things, the ungodly things. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, his leaves also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So that coincides with that verse, that the ungodly things will not stand in the judgment day. So, fellow brothers and sisters, you and your children are so blessed to have been taught the word of God from young on. Last Monday evening at baptism classes, we saw it again, that they understand spiritual things in an amazing way. This then gives the potential to apply the knowledge from Scripture and avoid so many problems in life, so many sins, and so many wrongdoings. With this knowledge in our mind, we can already allude to and allude with Psalms 119, verse 10. With my whole heart have I sought thee, O let me not wander from thy commandments. And if that's our prayer, that God will bless and he will surely help us with it. As I'm moving further into this message, that's the only way with God's help to live that type of a lifestyle. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to thy word. And then again, as I did in the last service or one service before, I had a devotion from Oswald Chambers. And today again, I have decided to share a devotion from him. It's called Taking the Next Step. So if we were encouraged by the message from last week and the message from Mr. Martin Anra and from my message before that and on from those messages, if we were encouraged that there is certain things that we should do different, then today is also the message on encouraging you to take the next step. And the devotion goes this way. When you have no vision from God, no enthusiasm left in your life, and no one watching and encouraging you, it requires the grace of Almighty God to take the next step in your devotion to Him. Notice that. It says here, it requires the grace of the Almighty God to take the next step in your devotion to Him. In the reading and studying of His Word, in your family life, and in your duty to Him. And now notice this line here. It takes much more of the grace of God and a much greater awareness of drawing up upon Him to take the next step than it does to preach the gospel. It takes much more of the grace of God and a much greater awareness of drawing upon Him to take the next step than it does to preach the gospel. To take that next step is a huge thing that we are facing. And we've been told this year by medicine, by the way, being told next, that means after your flesh. After counsel have come to go to counsel. And God has the grace there. That's why it says here, it takes much more of the grace of God to do that than to preach the gospel. And I agree on that. I agree on that, crucifying yourself, so to say, saying no to selfish and to less stuff, to have less taste. Then the devotion goes further. Every Christian must experience the essence of the incarnation by bringing down him to work with his hands. And I really questioned it when I thought about the essence of the reincarnation by bringing the next step down into flesh and blood. And as I looked into what that had to say, to me it said that meant you had to do break your will again. You had to break to do God's will. You had to break that. That's what I'm learning from this. We lose interest and give up when we have no vision, no encouragement, and no improvement, but only experience our everyday life with its trivial task. The thing that really testifies for God and for the people of God in the long run is steady perseverance. Even when the work cannot be seen by others, and the only way to live an undefeated life is to live looking to God. Ask God to keep the eyes of your spirit open to the risen Christ, and it will be impossible for drudgery to discourage you. Never allow yourself to think that some tasks are beneath your dignity or too insignificant for you to do. And remind yourself of the example of Christ in John 13, verses 1 to 17, where the recording is that Jesus humbled himself and washed the disciples' feet before he went to the cross and before he rose from the dead and went to heaven. So Jesus, before he went to the throne of God, ascended to the throne of God in heaven, he humbled himself and became a servant. He also showed us an example of that we had to leave self and go to and do God's will. The conclusion of that devotion reads this way. When a man's heart is right with God, the mysterious utterances of the Bible are spirit and life to him. Spiritual truth is discernible only to a pure heart, not to a keen intellect. It is not a question of profundity of intellect, but of purity of heart. And that's why I chose this devotion, because I believe it goes with Psalms 119, verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways, cleanse his heart? With the word of God, and by keeping on thereunto. Today I want to encourage us to keep at it and improve in areas we see it needed to have less wood, hay, and stubble on Judgment Day. The Bible presents several different resources to aid us in our effort to overcome sin in this lifetime. We will never be perfectly victorious over sin. 1 John 1 verse 8 states, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And I thought that was neat too, that now at least, I don't know for sure if Pastor Martin had that verse in his message, but I kind of think so, and Mr. Kaler had it in his message, and now I have. So that verse is getting to be a little bit of frequent in our messages here. So it says here, we will never be perfectly victorious over sin, but it should still be our goal to be victorious over sin. Not use that as an excuse. Not use that as an excuse. Well, then there is no hope anyways. There is hope. There is hope. Not to claim that we never sin, but to do less sinning and remember and faithfully believe and trust that God, Jesus died for all of our sins. With God's help and by following the principles of His Word, we can progressively overcome sin and become more and more like Christ. Today, we want to look at four resources the Bible mentions in our effort to overcome sin. The first resource is the Holy Spirit, which we receive at birth, our spiritual birth, when we become Christians. Secondly, the second resource we want to look at, the Word of God. Thirdly, the prayer and church. Fourth, the church. The Bible mentions in our efforts to overcome sin is the Holy Spirit. God has given us the Holy Spirit so we can be victorious in Christian living. God contrasts the deeds of the flesh with the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, which we always call the fruits of the Holy Spirit, or many times it's referred that way. And he says in it, it's contrasting that and says that we are supposed to do that. In that passage, we are called upon to walk in the Spirit. In Romans 5, verse 5, also says this, "In hope make it not ashamed, because we love the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." So that Romans 5, verse 5 states that the Holy Spirit is given to us from God. By God it is given unto us to do that very same thing, to guide us away from sin, to keep us away from sin and do the right thing. It can be assured, and we can be assured, that when we follow the Holy Spirit, we will live a sinless life. As believers, we already have the Holy Spirit, but this passage tells us that we need to walk in the Spirit, yielding to His control. This means choosing to consistently follow the Holy Spirit's prompting in our lives rather than following the flesh. The difference the Holy Spirit can make is demonstrated in the life of Peter, who before being filled with the Holy Spirit, denied Jesus three times. After he had said he would follow Christ to the death, after being filled with the Spirit, he spoke openly and strongly to the Jews and at Pentecost. We walk in the Spirit as we try not to quench the Spirit's prompting. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 tells us and teaches us that we're not supposed to quench the Spirit. So that Spirit is there, and is there, and why it's not supposed to quench is because it will remind us, don't do that. It usually will remind us of not to do certain things that will harm us, and we will be sorry for. It will tell us to do that, and when we disobey that Spirit, that's when we realize that we have fallen again and that we have failed again. When we disobey that, when we quench that Spirit, we're not supposed to quench that Spirit. Also, Ephesians 5 encourages us to be filled with the Spirit. That is, to be fully under the Spirit's control. We should pray that we be filled with the Spirit, immerse ourselves in God's Word, and walk in obedience to God's command. This gives the Spirit freedom to work within our thoughts and actions, based on Colossians 3:16. Secondly, the second resource I said was the Word of God. The Word of God, the Bible says that God has given us His Word to equip us for every good work. 2 Timothy 3:16 teaches us that we are supposed to have good works. It teaches us how to live and what to believe. It reveals us the Word, God's Word, teaches us how to live and what to believe. It reveals to us when we have chosen wrong paths. It helps us to get back on the right path, and it helps us to stay on that path. Hebrews 4:12 tells us that the Word of God is living and powerful, able to penetrate to our hearts, to the root out and overcome the deepest sin of heart and attitude. It says in Hebrews 12 that the Word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing asunder. It cuts the dividing. It cuts the right from the wrong all the time. The psalmist talks about its life-changing power in depth in Psalms 119. I still remember one New Year's message I had, or the first Sunday of the year message I had, and I said in that message, what would it be like if we would choose to live and pray this Psalms, the first verses, or the whole Psalms through the year? And focus on living the way that Psalms is written and the way that Psalms prayer is. And I said, and I still believe that it would change our lives. It would change us if we would do that. Because if we look at it, how serious this psalmist is praying and how serious this psalmist is saying he is, that will make a difference. Joshua was told that the key to success in overcoming his enemies was not to forget this resource, but instead to meditate on it day and night and obey it. This he did, even when what God commanded did not make sense. Militarily, and now we can apply that into our spiritual life as well. And this was the key to his victory in his battle for the promised land. Keeping his eyes on Jesus and following the commands of God, keeping what God had said and doing it the way God had said, go into the land of Canaan and conquer it. The Bible is a resource that we too often tread lightly. We give token service to it by carrying our Bible to church or reading a daily devotional or a chapter a day. But we fail to memorize it, meditate on it, or apply it to our lives. We fail to confess the sin it reveals or praise God for the gift it reveals to us. When it comes to the Bible, we are often either anorexic or bulimic. And those are pretty big words there. And I studied those two words a little bit. And it is either we're overdoing it by a long way, like overeating and vomiting it. That's the bulimic. Or anorexic, which is we just won't take enough of it. In public, at least, you will not eat enough food. People are physically, really, they are like this. They will think, and it's a huge problem sometimes with people. Certain people, they when they're anorexic, they think they're overweight and they're too big, and they will eat a bit and get rid of it, and eat a bit and get rid of it, just to satisfy the people. But their own body is getting sicker and sicker and sicker and all the time, and people have to have help with that to overcome that. So it is also and can also be spiritually. We will just take a little bit to satisfy people, but never satisfy the soul really. And therefore, the soul will not be healthy enough. But we can also take way too much of it, so to say, of the word, and not apply it, and let it go, and then it doesn't keep us spiritually healthy either. We either take it in just enough to keep us alive spiritually by eating from the word, but never ingesting enough to be healthy, thriving Christians. Or we come to feed often, but never meditate on it long enough to get spiritual nutrition from it. It is important, if you have not made a habit of daily studying and memorizing Scripture, memorizing God's Word, that you begin to do so. Some find it helpful to start a journal. Make it a habit not to leave the word until you have written down something you have gained from it. Some record prayers to God, asking him to help them change in areas that he has spoken to them about. The Bible is a tool the Spirit uses in our lives. And as an essential and major part of the armor that God gives us to fight our spiritual battle. So the second resource to overcome sin is the Word of God, the Bible. And much of it. As I thought about this, and as I thought of this, what I just shared here, but we fail to memorize it, the Word of God, or meditate on it. And because of that, we fail in that, we also fail then to apply it to our lives. And so that leads to more sin in our life. Because we don't even know it. We don't realize it. I felt that we as church probably failed to some degree in this, that in Sunday school we have somewhat programs and we have systematically encouraging the children to memorize their memory verse, and we award them for certain things. But when you're out of Sunday school, who's encouraging to memorize scripture except us here and there a little bit? So I thought of it this way. We need a volunteer or a couple of volunteers that will be able to coach adults into memorizing scripture, and you will be rewarded for it. But I can't coach all of that. But if somebody is looking for work, you got a job. Get people to memorize His Word. That will produce and sow less hay and stubble. Memorize it. Have a system, find a system of somehow realizing and somehow being able to, that they can prove it to you. They did memorize it. They're not just attempt to memorize it. And then we will digest it. We will work on it longer, and then we will hear a lot more things that need to be rooted out. The third resource was prayer. A third resource in our battle against sin is prayer. Again, it is a resource that Christians often give lip service but make poor use. Lip service. We have Christ's word to Peter in the Garden of Gethsemane. Just before Peter denial, as Jesus prays, Peter is sleeping. Jesus wakes him and says, "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak." And here we can identify with, I believe all of us, we can identify with it. Yes, we say, from today on, from now on, I will pray more. I will pray longer. And then we do a little bit, and then we stop. We pray our normal, somewhat prayers. We, like Peter, want to do what is right, but are not finding the strength. We need to follow God's admonition to keep seeking, keep knocking, keep asking. He will give us the strength that we need, according to Matthew 7:7, which says, "Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Ask, and it shall be given unto you." So really, according to that verse, and also James says, "Ye have not, because ye ask not. If any one of you lacks wisdom, ask and it shall be given unto you." So we have no excuse of saying, "Well, it's God's fault that we can't overcome that. It's God's fault that we can't have that." No. His word says that we can have it. His word says we can have it. Prayer is not a magic formula. Prayer is simply acknowledging our own limitations and God's inexhaustible power and turning to Him for that strength to do what He wants us to do, not what we want to do. And fourthly, the resource of in our war to conquer sin is the church. Each other's. The fellowship of other believers. When Jesus sent His disciples out, He sent them out two by two. It tells us to confess our faults one to another. James 5:16. In the wisdom of the Old Testament, we are told that as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another man. Proverbs 27:17. There is strength in numbers, Ecclesiastes 4:11-12. So we need and we can use each other in it. We can be encouraged from each other. Many Christians find that having an accountability partner can be a huge benefit in overcoming stubborn sins. And I believe we already have witnesses in our church circle that were from different programs that we have already had. They have accountability partners. They have been journaling also already. And I believe it has produced some fruit too already. It has helped. So they would be able to allude. Those that have already practiced this can allude to it, that it does help. It does work. Having another person who we can talk with, and who you can talk with and pray with, and encourages you and even rebuke you, is of great value. So we have to, we do that too with the baptismal candidates, and we have done this for years already, and we have said that even for longer than we have had the mentorship program, we have had that and said that the witnesses that stand for the baptismal candidates are these people that are supposed to do this to those people, for those people. They are supposed to, you are supposed to choose, we encourage the candidates to choose a witness that they will be able to receive and take rebuke from. And so I would really encourage us as witnesses to look for that, and when we see that a person needs some sharpening, an individual needs some sharpening, that we would do that. We would go lovingly and tell that person, you asked me to keep you on track. And I see through the Word of God and through the whole leading of the Holy Spirit, I see that you may need some help here. How do you see it? And if it's done in the right way, and if that agreement has been made, it should work. It should work to go and reprimand somebody in a proper way. Having an accountability partner or an accountability group can give us the final dose of encouragement and motivation we need to overcome even the most stubborn of sins. Sometimes victory over sin comes quickly. Other times victory comes more slowly. God has promised that as we make use of His resource, He will progressively bring about change in our lives. We can persevere in our effort to overcome sin because we know that He is faithful to His promises. We can trust in that. Isaiah 29 verse 13 speaks this way. Wherefore, the Lord says, for as much as this people draw near with me, with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precepts of men. That reminded me again of that bulimic and anorexia. Either not doing it too much or overdoing it. And because of that, I believe it says here, they honor me with their mouth and with their lips, but their heart is far from me. We need to be serious when we want to come to God. So how would it be if we would choose to look at and concentrate for a whole month on Psalms 119, the first 16 verses? Let's read them over and think about it. How would it change me if that was my Psalms for a month? Seriously, what would it be? Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk not in the law of the Lord. Who walk in the law of the Lord. How would that be if we did that for a whole month steady? Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Thy statutes. If that was our prayer in the morning, these five verses. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have precepts unto all Thy commandments. I will praise Thee with uprightness of heart, when I shall have learned thy righteous judgment. I will keep thy statutes. O forsake me not utterly. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, memorized, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all thy judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies. As much as in all riches, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. And then we can go on. It's just an amazing Psalms. And those are amazing verses. Can you, or have you ever prayed, verse 16, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. If you have, bless you. If you haven't, be challenged to pray this prayer. To say that to the Lord. Every morning, I will delight myself in thy statutes. Every time you open the Bible, every time you think of God, think about it this way. Can we say, this is our desire? Can we say that is our desire? I want to look at a little bit now, as I have been encouraging on this, on memorizing and on spending more time in the Word and letting the Spirit lead us more. I want to go a little bit over a few things here that I found on what it means and what is beneficial in having quiet time, which we call devotions. And I still remember very, very clear years ago when we first moved here and we started learning things different than what we had been taught and different than what we were used to. How differently to use the Bible and how differently to believe the Bible and how differently to apply the Bible in our lives. And much time and much talk was about that I echo in my mind. It was about devotions, prayer time. And meditation. And I did think about it this way. Again, to some people it may still be that way, and it is to many people this way. When a person starts talking about meditating, then, oh no, I'm not going to have nothing to do with that. That is spiritualism. Well, a Christian's life is spiritualism. But the Holy Spirit, spiritualism, not the evil spirit. Yoga, there is a type of yoga that is very wrong. It has a total wrong way of approaching things. But proper meditation is biblically and is right. Because it tells us that I will meditate, I will concentrate, I will not forget, I will memorize thy scripture. And by doing that, by devotions and by quiet time, that is what happens in there. That's what needs to happen in there. So, and I remember this, and it doesn't happen nearly every time. Lots of times I do it. Before reading the Bible, I pray first. But it should be this way. So one may ask, what is devotion or what is meditation or what is prayer? How do I have a quiet time or how do I do devotions? Well, firstly, start with prayer according to Psalms 119 verse 8. There it says, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. What is his law? I believe his whole Bible again. Open mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things. So if that would be our prayer to before we start reading God's word, we could, so to say, use one of these and put it right by your Bible there and have it stick out a far way, or have one that just one of that color, and that's where you go in the morning or when you are going to go to do devotions. You go like this and then you pray that verse. You will soon not need to open the Bible there because you will memorize it. And then you will say, open thou mine eyes, God, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law, that I'm going to read now. And then I have chosen to read out of Luke chapter 2 this morning. And then you have then prayed I want to read, I open my eyes and help me to see something out of Luke chapter 2 or out of Romans 11. Wherever, the whole Bible, pray that He will open your eyes and have you see something out of it. It is advisable to start the devotion with prayer. Thank God that you can come to Him, ask Him to speak to you through the Bible passage you are about to read. Then read. 2 Timothy 3 verse 16 and 17 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, so for teachings, for reproofs, for corrections, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfectly, thoroughly furnished unto all good works, unto silver, gold, and precious stone. Pastor Martin, Larry shared, right? That would not, that can handle heat. And I believe we have been in the heat over the last year, right? We have been tried. And so we need more of that. We need things from God and in our lives that will be able to handle that heat. We can read our favorite verses, but it is also important to read consecutively through the Bible. It is advisable to read the Bible according to a specific plan. And it does help you. It keeps you more on track if you do use a plan. But if you have your own plan and you say, in these 3 months, I'll read through the 4 New Testament Gospels, right? Yeah, the first 4 books are Gospels. And then the Epistles. Now, the next 3 months, I'm going to read through the Epistles. I'm going to read 20 verses every day. Something like that. Make a plan, do something, and stick to it. I have tried it, and I have also failed many times, but it's said that if you can stick it out 21 days consecutively, it will sooner become a habit than when you fail and don't continue 21 days. That's 3 weeks. Commit 3 weeks, and then hopefully you're hooked by the end of the 3 weeks. And then it will continue going. But meditation. So after you read the scripture passage, it is encouraged to meditate on what you have read. After we have read the Bible passage, we should think about what it says and ask ourselves what God is trying to say to us. It is helpful to write important thoughts in a notebook. Again, journaling. The program that some people have been using, and I have also been part of, it encourages us to read the verse, and then read the verse again, and read it 4 or 5 times, and then read 1 or 2 words out of that verse down. Whichever word kind of spoke to you the loudest. Read it down, write it down, journal it, And then sit and think about it a little while, that verse, and then write down what you have thought of. And then ask questions like this. Ask questions in meditation. Ask the question, is there a promise that I should claim? And that we sometimes have a problem too. I at least know of that teaching, and I know of the feeling when somebody talks about claiming a promise out of God's word, that's already new fashion. That's not something we really should be doing. Well, yes, the Bible tells us we're supposed to be doing that. You know why we're not supposed to do that? Which feelings that make us not to do that is the evil spirit telling us that not to do that, because the evil spirit wants us to produce more sin. And have more sin in our life. The Holy Spirit, which will keep us from sin, tells us we are supposed to meditate upon it and ask questions about it. So that's what meditation is. Ask questions about it. Is there a promise that I should claim? Is there an example to follow? Should I follow what I have just read? Should I learn something, and does it tell me something that I should be doing? Is there a warning to heed? Is there a warning to heed in your reading, in your devotion? And is there a new truth about God? Is God showing you something out of that scripture passage that you have never seen before? as I shared last time with John chapter 13, where Jesus was talking to Peter, and Peter said, I'm willing to go and die for you. I'm willing to go to the cross for with you. And then Jesus said to him, not now. You can't do it now, but afterwards you will. That I had never noticed. You know, I read the whole chapter of John chapter 13, and Jesus told him that one time before that, in the very same chapter, Jesus told him that again. Also, you will follow me later, but you aren't going to follow me right now. In verse 7, I'll read verse 6, John 13. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? So there he is brave again, and he says, no, not just my feet, I want all of it washed. And then Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know afterward, or hereafter. So two times in this chapter, Jesus has to tell Peter, you don't understand, but you will understand later. And so that is what I mean about, is there a new truth about God in there? When you see something like that pop out that applies to you, then you have seen a new truth and a new thing in your devotion. Is there something I need to settle or bring in order? Is there something I need to settle or bring in order that needs to be dealt with? Why is it profitable to meditate on what the Bible passage says after reading it? Again, as I already read before, Psalms 1, verses 1 and 2. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. That is why it is important, so that we will stay away from evil. And then in our devotion, also in our devotion, conclude with prayer. The conversation with God begins already when we think about what we've read. We should read prayerfully. We can start our personal prayer time with worship, worshiping God. Then we can confirm confession of sin, thanksgiving, request, and intercession as God leads. So when you have read those verses and he has revealed a new truth to you, then you can thank him for it. When he has revealed something that needs to be dealt with or so, then you can ask for help in it. But you can conclude that in prayer. You can conclude your devotion time with prayer. 2 Timothy 2, verses 1 and 2, there it says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all supplication, prayer, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men. So there again, it is scriptural that is happening. And then verse 2 says, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in a godly and honest and honesty. To help us benefit more from our prayer time, it is advisable to journal what you prayed for. Write down the date of the prayer, what you prayed for, and the date God has answered that prayer or didn't answer. And maybe in a year or later, so all of a sudden you will have to change that and say, God did answer. And then in devotion is also application. James 1 verse 2. According to James 1 verse 2. God has spoken to us in our devotion time. That should affect our lives. Remember what God showed us in devotion time during the day. Am I willing to do what God has taught me in my devotion time through the day? Are we willing to do that? If we are willing to do that, I am sure it will make a difference. I'm sure it will make a difference. I just want to read James 1 verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. We need to do that. We need to seek God and to be able to overcome all those temptations. So in conclusion, I wonder how many of us know Psalms chapter 1, the first 6 verses. I won't dare to say it now by memory, but let's try to. All together, whoever can, say it with me. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaves also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So, if you don't know this chapter, start with Psalms 1. I'll tell you, when we moved here and when I first started attending youth, these youth knew so many verses by memory and I didn't know any. And that motivated me to start memorizing. And I could. At 20 years old, I could memorize and I still can. But I need to memorize more. I have to admit that I wish I would memorize way more than I'm memorizing. And it is so beneficial. And sometimes we want to say, but I'm so old I can't memorize anymore. No, that's a poor excuse. And why do I know it's true? You and your business buy a new computer program and start managing your business with a new program. And tell me in a year from now that you still don't know how to operate that program. And you only operate a computer program by memorizing what steps to take to navigate along. And we can do it. And the program that Cheryl and I bought and we're running our business with now, we learned it in 3 days. So we can memorize if we just want to. Be challenged. Memorize God's word. How can I overcome sin in my Christian life? How can I have less wood, hay, and stubble on judgment day? Psalms 119, verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to thy word. God bless. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, today we thank you again for the opportunity. We thank you for the privilege of being able to have a church service and undisturbed. We thank you for your word. We thank you for people that have studied things already and said things about meditation and devotion. And Lord God, there's hundreds of devotion books we can buy. And probably all of us have devotion books. And all of us have your word. And likely have a Bible where a reading plan is in. And God, I'm sure there's also people that have read and are reading your Bible daily. I'm sure there's people that are reading on their own without a plan. And God, I thank you for them. And I pray that you will bless them. But those of us that don't, those that haven't, and I know that your Spirit says that we should, I pray that you would give them courage to read your word so that we can be led in a cleaner, righter way. Because through your word, through the Holy Spirit, and by your strength and by your grace, it is the only way how we will not live in sin. God, we thank you that you have made it possible that we can have the forgiveness of sin, that we don't have to worry what about all the sins that I already have done. No, God, and we are not even supposed to worry about the sins that we will be doing. All we are supposed to take care of and strive for is to live close to you and be close to you, and then everything will fall in place. And you will lead us, and you will reveal to us what needs to be taken care of, and what needs to be repented of, and what needs to be said sorry for, and what needs to be kept undoing. Oh God, I just thank you that you love us so much, and that you bless us, and that you allow us now together with twice the amount of people too. God, I pray that you will be with those that couldn't come, and I pray that we would feel blessed in being able to gather as a church. I pray that we would pray for each other, that we would encourage each other, and that when we feel that we should sharpen another person, admonish another person, help us to really do it carefully, and help us to do it with the right motive so that they will be uplifted rather than be brought down. Oh, Lord God, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we have the opportunity and we want to kneel for prayer. And again, as I shared before, if you lack wisdom, if you lack how to do this, then now ask Him, seriously ask Him to help you and to show you which step to take first and then move on. And if you have taken steps, then help ask Him to keep you going. Would you kneel with me if you're able to and pray with me in the name of Jesus? May the Lord bless our prayers. Amen. We'll close with two songs.
In your blue hymnals, we'll turn to page 110. Yeah, let's stand for whoever's able. Sweet Hour of Prayer, 110. Next to page 177. God be with you. 177.
God be with you. I'm kind of thinking about it. I hope we can meet next Sunday, Saturday, though. But we don't know. There's no assurance. But here on earth, there is assurance that in heaven we can meet again, right? So let's hope for that. So again, thank you for coming. On the back there in the foyer there is the church registry books. And if you haven't picked one up yet, and if your name is on one of them, please take them. Then, because the people that are trying to distribute them aren't able to do it like normal. So, yeah, and if Lord willing, then next Saturday again at 6 o'clock here, the same group, and the following Saturday, and then new orders, hopefully, and then hopefully another 200 people or up to 250 or 100%, all of us. So let's keep praying. And when I really have to say, in early January, when they extended it again to the end of January, I kind of just went, oh, and done. It's not, we can't wait another 3 weeks, but we can. We did. And now we have waited these 3 weeks, and now we can do 100 people, half as many services, and we can all come to church. We have an opportunity. And now 3 weeks, they will be over soon, and then who knows how soon, right? So God bless. Let's apply what God told us to apply, and let's keep praying for each other. Prayed especially for us that when we make these hasty decisions, like Thursday night, we all of a sudden we just didn't know how to, and we said, okay, Cheryl, graciously and by God's leading, already had worked all week on putting all of your names on a spreadsheet so that we had them 1, 2, 3, 4, like all of them there. And so by Thursday night, they were all there. So Thursday, once we had decided with five groups, we could do 533 persons. That's how many we have registered. Babies and everything, that is. Then we said five groups. These times, sort of these age groups, like this and this. And so then one person could do it. And you obeying the texts and the WhatsApp things, then we can congregate without 400 phone calls or 300 phone calls. It was possible. And so we need your help and your prayer support. Let's bow for the benediction. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. God bless and have a good weekend. Have a good Sunday.